Americans' trust in the federal government has generally been on the decline over the past several decades. Pew Research Center has been asking people if they trust the federal government to do what's right at least most of the time. In 1964, 77% said yes. 2 months ago, that figure was down to 24% and approaching a record low. Meanwhile, faith in local government has remained consistently high, right around 70%, according to Gallup. But our next guest says he sees some cracks in the foundation. He sees the, quote, poisonous polarization at the federal level is starting to flow downhill. And if it's not properly addressed, the ability of local officials to provide the services that citizens have come to expect could be in trouble. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the government in your community? Do you generally trust it or not? What do you think of the job your local officials have done with the pandemic? What are you looking for in your local government? If you work in a local government, are you sensing that the public's trust is beginning to wear down, or is it still strong? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Don Kettle is Professor Emeritus at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin, former Dean of the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland, and a non-resident senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Used to work at UW-Madison, and he recently wrote about the fragile bond between residents and local officials for the website Governing. Don, welcome back to the show.
Hi there, Rob. It's great to be with you and with all my friends there in Wisconsin.
Well, let's start with those numbers on the federal government. I don't think it's a huge surprise to people, but what is behind that decline in trust from, say, early 60s to now?
Yeah, it really is dramatic. And from 77% during the Johnson administration to 24% today is just a precipitous decline. And there's a variety of reasons behind that. In part, it's that the public doesn't tend to trust federal institutions as much as it used to. In part, Watergate and then a series of economic problems have eroded that. But the thing is that at the federal level, it's mainly a matter of a kind of wholesale trust, how we look at the government as a whole and whether or not we feel connected to it. And so part of the reality also is that we don't have a whole lot of direct dealings with the federal government most of the time for most of us. And so the challenge is trying to figure out how we can connect to the pieces of government that we really do care about and how we can use that as the foundation for building trust.
But local governments, they're the ones who hopefully are filling our potholes and answering our calls to the fire department and that kind of thing. Why has trust there stayed, at least up till now, stayed so high while the federal government's trust levels have gone down?
Yeah, it really is fascinating, isn't it, that trust at the local level has remained almost unmoving at 70% for the last generation. And the reason, I think, is a pretty simple one. The federal government may seem like it's far and distant, and we're not really sure exactly what it is that it does for most of us in our daily lives. We just can't go out of our front doors without encountering local governments, without encountering garbage collection, without encountering police and fire, with people who are in charge of rescue squads, the traffic lights and the potholes and the highways, the water and the sewer, the pieces of government that we care most about, that we interact with most of the time, turns out to be things that people really value, and they really trust the people who provide it, as long as that relationship is in fact trustworthy, as long as in fact the public officials who are in charge are open and sensitive and accountable and deliver value for taxpayer dollars. But it's a lot easier to see what we get from local government than it is from the federal government. And that's a big part of the reason why trust is so different, has remained so fundamentally different over time.
You're worried, though, Don, about a trickle-down effect, as you write in this piece in Governing magazine. Why are you worried that this distrust in federal government may make its way down to our local governments?
What we've really seen, Rob, is in the last, especially in the last year with COVID, we've seen a dramatic shift in the way in which people have looked at government as a whole. And a lot of the polarization that we've seen at the national level, especially on issues having to do with public health and the pandemic, has begun to filter down to the local level as well. We've seen an incredible phenomenon where about 250 public health officials across the country have left their jobs because they just simply couldn't take it anymore because of the enormous tension and pressure and conflict that has come up around the question of whether or not to wear masks, what parts of the economy to open. If you think about that, that's 250 experts who are simply not there in place anymore to be able to do what we need them to do to be able to keep us safe. And that's just really a sign of things. So there's tales about, for example, a doctor named Cameron Kaiser in Riverside, California, and he, given the circumstances that they had early on, issued some lockdown orders really in advance of what was happening nationally and what the state was arguing. And he ended up getting attacked, not only in terms of name calling, but citizens really marched on his on a county board meeting, accused of trampling on the Constitution. Some created a fake Twitter account featuring his picture with a Hitler-style mustache and a caption of Führer Kaiser. It just was amazing about the kind of personal vitriol that is in many ways gone to the people who have been trying to work on these public health issues. And so what we've seen is that the basic issues of trust that have always been around filling potholes and putting out fires has now gotten so full of conflict when it comes to dealing with these issues of public health in the middle of the pandemic.
Talking to Don Kettle from the University of Texas at Austin about a piece he wrote on trust in government. It's gone down for the federal government a lot over the years. He's worried now that that's going to happen at the local level, too. And you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on your local government. Or if you work, if you're on a city council, if you're a mayor or you participate in local government, love to hear your perspective at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. CJ is with us in Racine. CJ, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I'm actually a new alderman in the city of Racine, along with my mother. And I'm definitely resonating with a lot of what you're saying. I feel a lot of that almost violent partisan divide that comes from the federal government seeping down to the local level. But as now, there is an easy solution that I found, and it's just the humanity aspect of it. Getting out and speaking with those people, especially those ones who might say things about you that aren't true. If you can speak with them and get to know them, it's easy to push past that national divide and remind them, like, hey, I deal with potholes. I deal with snow plows. How can I help you? I live here, too. I'm your neighbor. What can I do for you? And that divide tends to vanish as soon as we can regain that sense of connection, which was really hard during COVID, but we're working on that back.
CJ, what are there particular issues where you see that, you know, national-style partisanship hitting you there in Racine?
Oh, yeah. COVID was a huge one. We are one of the unique cities in this state of Wisconsin that have our own health department, that have our own director of health department as well, and she received a lot of attacks, still receives a lot of attacks. But a lot of it tends to come from people that are either not within our jurisdiction, whether they come in the surrounding county, or again, just need that personal connection. And we're small enough, even though we are a city, we're small enough to be able to reach out.
CJ, thanks a lot. Don, CJ gave us a lot to talk about there. First of all, that CJ pointing toward a way to maybe keep that trust or rebuild it. Go out and talk to your neighbors if you're in city government. What do you think?
I think CJ's exactly on the right course here, because there are two things that we've learned. One is that at the local level, it's possible to create that person-to-person contact. So instead of having this distant, indistinct federal government with an uncertain kind of role, there's a personal face on things. And so that's one thing for sure. And the other is that the kind of services that local governments provide are things that people want to get done, that there really isn't a Democratic or Republican, a blue versus red way of filling potholes. Nobody is going to deny someone access to an ambulance if it turns out that they're a Republican or a Democrat. Those are the basic kinds of services that everybody wants, expects, and boy, do they appreciate it when they get it, too, on top of that. So the big advantage here at the local level is the ability to make that personal contact, to talk about the things that people care most about, and use that as a foundation. And actually, there's some research on this. McKinsey, the global consulting firm, finds that 2/3 of the amount of trust in government can be explained by that basic interaction between citizens and the government officials who serve them. And so if that's positive, then they tend to have trust in that government official and trust in government. So this is international research that bolsters what CJ is finding and what he's doing. That's the great advantage that there is. But the problem, of course, is that COVID has just made all that so much harder. And without the kind of extra effort that officials like CJ are putting out, it's going to be that much harder to try to not only rebuild trust, but to maintain the trust that local governments have.
CJ also brought up this interesting notion that the way outrage works now, if a local government ends up on the internet and some partisan player on Twitter or whatever is stirring up outrage and putting a bullseye on a local government or a partisan radio host or whatever, that can lead to a lot of this partisanship being focused at the local level, as CJ said, sometimes not even by people who are constituents at that local level.
Well, that's exactly right, because one of the things that tends to be handy these days is that you can create Twitter accounts, Facebook feeds, and other kinds of social media connections that are completely disconnected. They can be anonymous, and they can be incredibly vicious. And that's, in fact, what happened to the doctor that I mentioned from Riverside, California, that you can find yourself the target of that, stirred up, whether it's by talk radio or by what people read in the newspapers or online or what they hear on TV. And that's leading, unfortunately, to greater divisions and, frankly, to a fair amount of incivility as well. And the more that that happens, the harder it is to be able to make that kind of connection. What local governments really have going for them is this basic fact that, you know, if I've never seen anybody who has had a house on fire says, you know what, I just don't believe in government at this point. Let the house burn down. I've been just amazed by the kind of services that local officials can perform and the kind of instant connection that happens on the whole wide variety of things. You make that work and trust flows from that. But it's just getting so much harder to do that because the way in which social media has poisoned the conversation and in some cases, unfortunately, has reduced the amount of civility that we have and that we need.
We're talking about threats to the public's trust in local government with Don Kettle, professor emeritus at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin. He wrote about this issue for the website Governing, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you trust your local government? Do you feel engaged with it in one way or another? Do you participate? Do you work in local government as an elected official or a staffer? What are your thoughts on these issues? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about people's trust in local government. It's remained at a high level, even as trust in the federal government has steadily gone down. Our guest says, though, there are cracks in the foundation. We need to work to repair them before it's too late. Don Kettle is professor emeritus at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin. He recently wrote about trust in local government for the news website Governing. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on your local government, whether you're a citizen or a staff member or an elected official, school board, city council, county board, you name it, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We'll go back to your calls now. Walton is with us in Koshkonong. Walton, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. So this is an interesting show. It really strikes a chord with me. I've been a local official for about 18 years, starting in 1997 as a town board, town of Koshkonong board supervisor, and now a county board supervisor, and I'm on both those boards right now. And over the years, I have really observed the beauty of not having to worry about any kind of partisan consideration as we debate, you know, how much money to put into the road budget or, you know, how to hire somebody at the county level for some position or whatever in the board and the budget, all those housekeeping duties that we do every month. Nothing about partisan politics gets in there. I mean, really, I don't remember any event, any circumstance where somebody made a Democratic or Republican argument in favor of something. And that is how things have really moved smoothly. We've gotten our work done. So the idea that somebody might think, oh, we're going to start trying to make it more like Madison or the United States Congress would that would really make me angry if somebody to make that argument, because it works well the way it does, the way we have it right now.
Well, thanks a lot for that call. And down here in Wisconsin and in a lot of places, the sort of agency, the sort of units of government that Walton was talking about are nonpartisan elections. You wouldn't run as a Democrat or Republican. Does that make a difference? Keeping out the labels maybe keeps some of the partisanship out?
No, I think it helps in two respects. First, it helps in at least not instantly polarizing the debate. And that, I think, is a big plus. But the other is, if you listen to what Walton was saying about the kinds of things that he does, about trying to figure out where to put a road or how much money to budget for utility repairs, those are the kinds of things that people really care about. Of course, nobody wants to pay more taxes than they have to. But when you pay taxes at the local level, you've got a pretty good sense about where that money is going. And that, with luck, tends to help bring some of the partisanship and polarization out of the basic business of local government. And it's one of the reasons why trust is so much higher. And in some ways, too, even though we know we've got huge problems of trust and civility in the United States, this is one of the things that really makes me most hopeful, because the kind of work that CJ is doing, the kind of work that Walton is doing, shows that we can just rebuild that one brick at a time by really focusing on the kinds of things that taxpayers care about and demonstrating that they're getting value for the money that they're spending.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Don Kettle, government expert, former Wisconsinite, looking at trust in local government. He's worried that that could go away. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Jim is next in La Crosse. Jim, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Jim?
Well, I worked in public health for 35 years, and I noticed a distinct change after Act 10 had passed. And in general, a lot of people lost interest in local government and became hostile toward the employees.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Don, Jim felt kind of targeted by what was going on at the state level in our politics here.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that really, I was talking about what it is that really makes me feel hopeful. What Jim described is one of the things that makes me worried, which is that some of the same kind of incivility, some of the same kind of personal attacks that have started to happen at the federal level are beginning to trickle down to the local level as well, and are beginning to get in the way of that critical relationship between citizens and government officials. If we start out by not trusting each other, if we start out with incivility, if we start out with criticism, it makes it that much harder to try to build the trust on which everything depends. And it's, you could get too apocalyptic about this, but if we're going to try to pass a strong and vibrant democracy on to our kids and grandkids, it's got to be based on a system of trust, on the fact that we can find ways of governing ourselves and sharing power about what we want government to do in a way that we trust government to do it well. And that's why this relationship at the local level is so important, and why what Jim describes in some ways also concerning. This is an opportunity we have now to try to stop it before it gets worse. And the way to do that is by following the kinds of things that some of our local officials have already described.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jim. Will joins us next in Chippewa Falls. Will, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Will?
Well, I know earlier on in the show, they had mentioned that there's no bipartisan in filling potholes. I want to make a comment, and this is wholeheartedly true, that Democrats want to fill those potholes with the sales from pot. Republicans want to fill those holes with tax dollars. That is bipartisan. And I think if anybody wants this state to fill those potholes, fix infrastructure, hashtag pot for potholes.
Well, thanks for the call. We're getting into a particular issue there, but he points to that idea that maybe partisanship can sneak into these practical, how do you do a thing and how do you pay for it issues.
Well, that's absolutely right, Rob, because no matter what you do there, it's the question of, if you've got a pothole, do people think that you fill somebody else's pothole first? If it snows, are you confident that your neighbor is going to get a fair shake compared to somebody else's? Or the Republican neighborhood's going to get plowed out first, or maybe Democratic neighborhoods get plowed out first. And that's the foundation of trust that people, I think, have to be able to rely on. But one of the things that many local governments are doing, for example, is to create transparency with us by putting transponders into the snowplows, for example, so that you can track where the plow is and which roads are open and which ones are being plowed now, so the citizens can see what's going to happen. And the more transparency and the more civility that we bring to the process, the easier it's going to be to try to ensure that people have trust in what it is that they're paying for and with the kind of services that they're getting.
Thanks for the call, Will. And our last minute, Don, a little curveball here. We've talked on the show a lot about the decline of local media, you know, those smaller town papers that provide the sort of day-to-day coverage of local government. Do you think that that might hurt, that might make people feel less connected if they aren't up to date like that?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that more broadly on both a local, state, and even a national level is a growing issue, I think. We have fewer local papers that are out there. There are fewer local papers that have reporters in state capitals. There's less reporting in general about state politics and more an effort to try to focus on the big national stories through big national chains. And what that does in a way is it makes it harder for people to be able to draw that line between where they sit in the neighborhood where they live and the kind of services that are being provided and the people who are making those decisions for them. I think we'd have a much healthier democracy if we had, in fact, more local papers and more local reporting on state politics and better state government reporting as well. And that's one of the reasons why I've always thought that Wisconsin Public Radio provides such a service, because it connects people across the state to a set of realities and provides a way for the conversations to happen. But in so many places, there's just not that kind of conversation happening. And there's a growing disconnect between the print media and what's happening in places at the state and local level. And that makes it that much easier for social media to define the way in which the conversations happen. And that's one of the things in the list of things that I worry most about, is one of the things that's going to make it hardest to try to recover.
Don, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us again today.
So good to be with you, Rob.
Don Kettle is a professor emeritus at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin, formerly with UW-Madison. Talk to him today about the public's maybe fragile trust in local government and how to bring it back.